I mean, this was an ass kicking. This was a bludgeoning. This was a beat down. And yet I know you're unhappy. And yet I know as a fact that you are not happy. Welcome into the Project Game Day post-game show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio. Glenn Clark, the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard.
Good day.
I know you're not happy. I know you're not. I just know it. Like, we can go ahead and get to that part where you're not happy. The Ravens are going to win by whenever they feel like the final score should be, because we couldn't wait any longer. We just decided we were going to start. Yeah. And I know it's not going to matter to you. You're not happy.
I tweeted, though, Glenn, to be fair, when the game started, I had tweeted, I felt really blah about this game. And I wasn't sure if it was just like, The weather was kind of getting to me at that point. It hadn't rained yet, but it was real gloomy outside when the game started. Or if I just had a bad omen. Not that I thought that the Ravens would lose, but I really thought that the Ravens would not look well. And I wanted it to be the former and not the latter. Well, it turns out it was the latter, that offensively, because defensively they played
an excellent
game today.
It helps to face no offensive line whatsoever.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they just out there just running past air, basically.
Correct.
But offensively, this is not what I would have liked to see against a team like the Bengals. Give the Bengals defense some credit, because they played a very good game against the offense, but still, man, that was hard to watch.
Let's start, right? How about we do this? Because we'll get to that. Let's start with the Ravens are going to win this game by whatever the score is going to be. It's 27-0 right now.
They'll cover.
Yeah, they're going to comfortably cover.
I think they were 12-point favorites. They'll cover.
So let's do the positives, right? Like, the positives are
divisional win, because you want that, right?
Correct,
obviously.
100%.
So now they're 2-0 in the division.
The positives, I think, individually are, for example, Mark Andrews looked great again.
He did.
He was outstanding. Whatever your concerns.
A great series.
Whatever everyone's concerns were out of the Chiefs game. And I get it. Like, he did not have a good game against the Chiefs.
A lot of people didn't.
But Mark Andrews is way too good to have been particularly concerned about Mark Andrews after one game. He had a bad game on the worst possible night. Mark Andrews is a hell of a football player. He's going to be just fine. That's a plus.
Well, he was fine last week. I think the Chiefs game is an anomaly. Like,
I don't disagree.
Nobody
with that.
Played well in that game. So last week he already told us, "Hey y'all, the week before was just a joke. I'm back." And then he just reiterated that today with the game that he had today.
J.K. Dobbins continues to be pretty impressive when he touches the ball.
Yeah.
He averaged 34 yards per carry today. He had one carry. he had three catches as well for 21 yards. Mark Ingram turned it up a little bit in the second half, which was good to see. There was a lot of negativity towards Mark Ingram when we were talking at halftime. There's been some negative.
He read y'all's tweets. He heard y'all.
Only because I feel like it's been less about Mark Ingram and more about the other two backs. Like, the other two backs were averaging 6.5-7 yards per carry. Mark Ingram was averaging 2 to 2.5 less than that, so that's where your ire is going to be directed. I don't think Mark Ingram's been having a bad season. I think there's a bigger problem that we'll get back to in a second, because we're trying to do the positives today.
Right, correct.
We continue with the positives. Patrick Queen obviously was great today.
Second week in a row, he's played very well.
Marlon Humphrey continues to be not just – like, and we need to say it the right way. It's not just that Marlon Humphrey is a top corner. It's that he's going above and beyond
Correct.
To be a playmaker. It's that he's doing extreme things beyond being a top corner to be an even more game-changing playmaker for this defense. Sure, the Ravens are going to win going away by the time he created that turnover down here that was run back by Patrick Queen. But he does things that just no other player that's playing the cornerback position does.
Even a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who I think is a better cover guy,
Correct.
Right? But like you said, Marlon Humphrey does something different in terms of he wants to turn that ball over. And even if he's not successful, because I want to say the drive before this one, right before they scored the touchdown, the fumble to the touchdown,
yep.
He was trying to jab the ball out of, I believe, Mixon's hand. So he continues to go after the football, whether or not a guy catches the ball, whether or not, you know, if they're 20 yards down the line and he's trying to tackle, he's always trying to punch that ball out.
Yep.
Much respect to him for that, because it feels like every week he makes some type of play.
It's one thing to be in the position that you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have your assignment. It's another thing to make plays to change the course of a game with your playmaking. That's what Marlon Humphrey does. That's why the Ravens paid him so much money. And
worth every dime.
100%. You're on board with all that.
Yeah.
The pass rush, clearly. Now, look.
To be fair.
How much of that is about the Ravens pass rush? How much of it is about the Bengals legitimately having no offensive line?
I do think it is more about the latter, but I will take what I can get. Maybe that spark,
100%.
Maybe that puts a spark in them. You know,
you
maybe
hope.
That allows them to get confident and get some things going. You know, we've heard Judon's name a couple of, well, in addition to a couple of
He had a couple of penalties today,
but he was effective today. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
Pernell McPhee was quite effective today.
I mean, we are well aware that the Bengals' offensive line is one of the worst in the National Football League, so we can't talk about how good what happened today is without mentioning that. But I still think that it's a good way to start a momentum shift and trying to, you know, continue the pass rush.
I hope, right? Like, they'd have to show it against
better teams, of course.
Correct.
Yes.
In order for me to buy into that being the case, but you'll 100% you take it.
Some of it was Burrow. He holds the ball a little bit too long at moments. So, you know, he has to this is the National Football League, young man. This is not LSU anymore. You don't have that line that you had last year that took you to that championship game. You got to get that ball out at 3 seconds, maybe a little bit before then.
And he
four
shook.
Or 5 seconds, man.
I think Joe Burrow is a nice player, but he's shook.
And I think he will be fine, but he needs guys up front.
Someone
that
has to protect
him.
For him. Correct.
And until that happens, between him holding the ball too long and between that line being Swiss cheese, I mean, you're gonna get this every week.
God, are they gonna kick a field goal just to ruin the shutout?
No, they need to just go for it.
What a crappy thing that would be if they just kick a field goal to ruin the shutout. Oh,
you're already losing 27-0. Just go for it on fourth down.
They ran the ball on 3rd and 7.
Oh, my God. They just completely gave up.
Well, hang on a second. No, I guess they're going. Yeah, they're doing that.
Boo.
They're legit kicking a field goal just to end the shutout.
Man.
That's lame.
No, you go
that's
for
lame.
It on fourth down.
That's lame. Very lame. All right. So the Ravens, well, let's see.
Okay, he got it.
Yeah, so the Ravens will not record a shutout today, but put an asterisk on that.
I guess.
They're going to win 27-3. So they'll improve to 4-1. Also, I thought Jimmy Smith playing a little more outside corner today.
Yes, played well, yes.
Yep, was nice to see as well. Anything else on the positive side that we didn't mention that you want to mention before we get into the other stuff that everybody wants to talk about?
Well, Duvernay, when you allow him to get in the game, you know, obviously the first play was, what, a 43-yard run or something like that.
And a really well-designed play, too.
It was a very well-designed play. And then I think he had another pass, I think, went down the sideline. And so I would love to see more of him, but I'm glad to see them trying to get
him
involved.
I don't know that he's a downfield threat yet. You know, I don't know, but I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you that you want to see that, and considering some of the other options and where we are with them and Miles Boykin. I mean, there was something amiss on that 3rd and 3 play.
Well, first of all, why are y'all doing that on 3rd and 3?
I don't disagree with that.
Clearly, there was some type of miscommunication because Lamar threw the ball one way, and then Boykin just was like somewhere else.
I mean,
to me, that somebody ain't get the memo or something. I don't know what happened there. Or did you really just feel defeated and you just let the DB do his thing on you and just stop?
I don't know. But there is definitely a lot of frustration. It's been frustration with Miles Boykin.
Yes, it has.
And I understand how the two things.
Yes.
You see Devin Duvernay, who in small sample sizes, you like what you see.
Yeah.
You see Miles Boykin, who you've rarely liked what you've seen. And so you say to yourself, well, I'd like to see a little bit more of this guy and a little bit less of this guy. It's not quite that easy.
Yeah.
They're different football players. Boykin is bigger, more physical, and a very good blocker. Devin Duvernay, not that type of football player, but I understand why it is that Ravens fans say those things. All right, so we're good on the positives.
Yeah.
Now we deal with the other stuff.
Okay, fun.
To me, Rita, the story of the other stuff continues to be me scratching my head. It's not, I don't think this team is good. It's not, I don't think this team is one of the best teams in football. It's not anything.
That's obvious.
It's, I'm confused.
Yes, and so are they.
That might be it. I've tried to convince myself over the course of the last week that the story of them throwing the ball so much in situations where they don't have to be throwing the ball. Like, you can look at the Kansas City Chiefs game and say, well, there were times in the second half where you had to throw the ball, but you didn't have to throw the ball when you got the ball back in a one-possession game in the second quarter. You sure as hell didn't have to throw the ball then. You threw the ball 3 times, punted it right back, never saw the ball again in a one-possession game. But there were some situations, and that skews numbers, right? When you have to throw the ball, it can skew numbers. But there's a lot of situations where you don't have to throw the ball. And the Ravens have had far more of those this season than they've had situations where they did have to throw the ball. And yet, they have been decidedly more pass happy than they've been a season ago. Almost insanely more pass happy than they've been a season ago. The theory that I've been working with, and have run up the flagpole to a few different people who have not dismissed it, has been this was what everybody screamed about this offseason. The Ravens needed to be better if they were forced to be a passing team. And so without the ability to force yourself to be a passing team, you don't want to walk into a game and say, hey, we're going to spot you guys 14 points, so we have to throw the ball. They're almost artificially putting themselves in those positions to try to force this offense to improve in passing spots. It's kind of doomsday crazy, like, you know, put a tinfoil hat on theory. But if it ain't that, what the F is it?
Can I put my tinfoil hat on?
Please.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on. I don't have a simultaneous.
You want to scream?
I'll put my tinfoil hat on. Y'all might think I sound ridiculous, right? But I promise you, I might not be as ridiculous later on as I am now. Because it's only week 5, right? So me saying this now might sound ridiculous, but in the grand scheme of things, it might not be that ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Okay. When can Lamar get extended?
At the end of this season is when he would be eligible.
He will be eligible to be extended.
You think they're trying to...
This is political to me.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I started putting my tinfoil hat on.
Wow.
This is political to me.
I didn't see this one coming.
This is political to me.
I hear you.
You got a contract. You're getting ready to want a new deal, I'm sure, coming up, right? Now, you can argue that maybe they'd wait a whole year, try to do Stanley first, right? All right, fine. You can do that, right? But... Let's just play the game, mm-hmm. right? Hypothetically speaking, he is eligible because he was not eligible the other years to be extended this year.
And well, presumably, and let's stretch that out a little bit, Rita. Presumably, if you just watch Patrick Mahomes get his deal after his third season, and you're now, and this is the problem, we don't really know what Lamar Jackson's camp is, right? Because he doesn't have an agent.
And Deshaun Watson as well.
Correct, Deshaun Watson.
After 3 seasons.
And that took a little bit longer. Went into the 4th season,
but,
right?
But no, yeah, he just got.
I know, but it was in like after his 4th season it began that they gave the deal, right? Like,
no, they got drafted in the same class.
I know, but like I'm just saying that he didn't get it in the off season.
Okay,
that's all
fair.
I'm saying.
Okay,
like,
fair. He got it as the 4th season
that's,
started.
That's it.
All
I'm
right,
not.
Fine.
I'm just arguing semantics.
Point, right?
Yes, I
it
get
was
it. Yes.
It was after the third. They did not wait till the end of the fourth season for this to happen.
100%.
Right. All right.
So if we want to go a step further, what we would say is not knowing his camp, because presumably like he and his mother are working with someone in this department. I don't imagine they're just doing it all on their own.
Right.
But presumably they're saying to themselves, why would we wait? What's the benefit of us waiting for any reason? Who knows, you know, how things might change? Somebody might argue, look, the salary cap's going to be a little wonky next season, so maybe there's some benefit to waiting, but I don't think that Lamar Jackson's thinking about that at all. Like, I think his camp is going to say, give us as much money as you possibly can, and if the salary cap improves down the road, we'll have you go ahead and rip that up and give us more money when we get to that point. So it's not just that he can be.
Which is similar with the Chiefs, I believe. Their deal was with Mahomes.
Correct, right? Like, it has a few outs for
to give him more money.
If the cap ends up going up exponentially, as much money as you're making right now, you can get even more of it. So if I'm Lamar Jackson in his camp, I'm saying, look, y'all can tell me about cap troubles and the whole deal all you want, and you might not like it if we start getting pissy in the media, and you might say, hey, Lamar's a good guy. He's really popular here. It's not going to go over well if you guys like threaten to hold out or something like that when he's still 2 years away from his contract being up. And what do they say back? Who gives an F? Like, who cares about that? Pay us. You think we're worried about that? Pay us.
I wouldn't give a good damn about whatever else you said. I am the reigning MVP of the National Football League. Yes, and so my thing is that you've seen your peers get paid after their third season, right? So this is going to start to become a trend, Glenn.
Correct.
If it's not already, because I don't know that I can't.
If you're that good, there's no reason for you to not want more money. You never know when
That's all I'm saying. And so I don't know if that was discussed this offseason. All I'm simply saying is if it was discussed, well, guess what? We're going to upwork your load a little bit and see how this goes and see if this is how much money you're going to earn based off what you do this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say this is all political to me, because it is very possible that he's gotten an extended load in terms of passing because he might be asking for some more money, which he should ask for some more money. I would be asking for some more money after I won the unanimous MVP too. I know you might think I sound crazy.
It's a hell of a conspiracy theory.
Hold on, no.
I
know it's week five and you think this sounds crazy, but when that offseason comes and you start hearing about contract talks, you remember this conversation that I, Rita, the NFL chick, had on October the 11th, week five against the Bengals, because it is very possible that this is potentially what's going on right now and why the Ravens do not want to run the football and want to pass the ball all the damn time.
This is something. I'm banging my gavel. I ain't telling you you're wrong. I mean, I'd like to hope. By the way, the Raiders are going to beat the Chiefs, which is just wild. It's just wild.
I hate the fact that, you know, we couldn't do it.
Yeah, that'd be really nice if that was the case, but it's what it is. I'm not going to tell you flat out that you're wrong. I'm going to say I hope that has nothing to do with it, of course, because you'd like to hope that there would be no thought process along those lines. Why would you, you know, purposely risk hurting your football team in the name of trying to make some sort of point in a conversation that doesn't even exist yet? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd like to hope that would be so far beyond the pale it wouldn't even be a thought process. But if you want to tell me that I know as a fact that that doesn't have anything to do with anything, I'm not going to be able to say that, because I can't. I cannot say that whatsoever. Project Game Day postgame show, by the way, is brought to you by Wise Markets. I'm Glenn, she's Rita. So we throw out all of our conspiracy theories, and they all exist, because the point is we don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't get it. This doesn't make sense. And you can hide behind the fact that the team is 4-1 and say, well, what's really the problem here? Like, they're 4-1. What's really the problem is they're 4-1 where they played one game against a good football team and four against bad ones. And so, yeah, they're 4-1. I have no idea if what they're doing would be sensical or working during, say, the stretch of games they're playing against the Steelers, the Titans, the Colts, and the Patriots here in a few weeks, where they play all those four teams 5 times in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it works against that group of teams. I don't have that answer. Moreover, the idea of a Chiefs rematch, which, again, at the moment doesn't look, you know, quite so crazy because the Chiefs are about to get their butts kicked, frankly. But that being said,
God, that warms my heart.
I still am not convinced that the Chiefs aren't ultimately going to be the barometer by which you have to get past in the AFC.
Absolutely.
So,
as they still should be. A loss is a loss. It is what it is. But, I mean, you're right. And here's the thing. This was discussed on my timeline earlier today where someone mentioned, well, they really didn't get into a groove, you can say, until the Seattle game, which was, what, October, almost the end of October of last year.
Sure.
And then you started to see them click. So that's a fair argument, right? However,
it took until after the fifth game was when the win streak started, but it was an ugly, brutal game against the Steelers.
Yeah, I'd argue that the Seahawks is the game that they really,
right.
You know, people thought they weren't going to win that game, obviously, because at the time people thought Seattle was the better team, and they found a way to make it win, and then that offense did look much better down the stretch.
Sure.
So that's a fair argument. My counterpoint to that, though, is that I feel that team last year was very clear on what they were trying to do, which was run the football and run,
establish an identity,
and run, you know, the design the plays to have Lamar run and running some play action. And they stuck to that. This year does not feel like last year because I don't know what they're doing, and I don't think they know what they're doing. So while, yes, it did take a while for them to gel last season, that's a fair argument, I'd argue that they were still doing the same things prior to the Seahawks game. It just finally decided to come together when that game happened. And it came together very smoothly, mm-hmm. from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on here with them, because they think that they can pass against anybody.
Well, it's not just they think they can. They think they should.
But that's the thing. You're up how
right.
many scores, and you still feel like you need to pass instead of just running the football.
It's a really strange thing. Look, to somebody, a couple people have brought this up today. I don't know how much Lamar Jackson's injury impacted strategy today, right? But, like, to say, hey, it's clear that it impacted how much they're willing to let him run, like, maybe, or how much he chose to run himself, that might be true. But it still doesn't explain why you would choose to throw the ball that much. Like, that doesn't...
Yeah, you got three guys that can run.
Yes.
Three.
All of them. They're all
they're
good at this.
And they're healthy, so I don't understand what's happening.
So, yes, like, I have no doubt that it might have had some sort of impact on today's game, the fact that Lamar was banged up. Josh, maybe Lamar is a little banged up because he was definitely choosing to not run when he had the opportunities. I have no doubt that this injury that kept him out of practice on Wednesday might have played a role somehow in what you saw from Lamar specifically today. But what it doesn't explain is why you weren't trying to establish the run using the other dudes that run the football in this offense. Look, I've been confused by how little Lamar has run for the totality of the season. That is confusing to me. This is Lamar Jackson you're talking about. He's the best person ever at doing a certain thing as far as the quarterback position goes. I'd like to see it. But if today you want to say, hey, that's the story on Lamar specifically, is he didn't run as much because of the injury, okay, cool. It doesn't change the fact that you threw the ball 38 times and ran the ball 24 times in a game you won 27-3.
Really 27-0, because y'all, they kicked the field goal at the end of the
right.
game.
They
were not threatened at all.
Correct.
To lose that foot. Like, there was a, once the game started, there was a 100% chance that they had in losing that football
and
game.
By the way, it started to be not that pleasant in the second half either.
It was awful. Like, that was the worst second, like, that was one of the worst second halves I've probably witnessed in a good minute.
It was unwatchable.
It was bad. And yet, for whatever reason, you guys decided, well, we're going to continue to throw the football in positions where we don't need to. Yes. And I said this when we first started. I'm going to give the Bengals defense credit for where it needs to be. I thought that they played well. I thought that they did play the run well for the most part, because Mark Ingram did kind of break out a couple times. And like you said, J.K. Dobbins had a run. But for the most part, they played well. They found a way to contain Lamar. They found a way to contain the lanes. I will give them – and defensively, they did not allow guys to really get open. So when you see that happen, first of all, don't give up on the run just because they're not giving you the run, because at some point it will break. That's just kind of how this goes. Well,
that's the idea. This goes back to what happened a year ago when you walked out of the field and said, we're going to run the ball. And again, I get it that you had Marshall Yanda a year ago. You don't have Marshall
Yanda.
Yes,
it is a different line.
No
doubt. Which that's another
issue,
too.
And today they
too.
Were rotating in right guards.
They were struggling.
They were McCary and Ben Powers both, you know, saw the field at different times during the course
and
of the game.
And one time Lamar did have a good run. It got called back. I think Ben mm-hmm. Powers, you know, had mm-hmm. a whole call. So, you know, when you saw some things going, it kind of – took a step back, and that's going to happen because this offensive line is still trying to find their way too, right? But in that position, knowing that this line is not as good as last year's, why do you continue to put this young man in the pocket and say, just keep throwing the ball, especially if you've beaten the Cincinnati Bengals like you were today?
Rita, the best way I've been able to explain it, because you'll talk to people from outside of Baltimore, right? And they'll be like, are you guys nuts? Like, your team is 4-1. They're rolling. You've got Lamar Jackson. What are you mad about, right? Like, even when you talk to somebody outside of Baltimore. And the best way that I've explained it is, look, this team that they are is a good football team. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender throwing the football. I don't think that, not because Lamar can't. It has nothing to do with that. It's that I don't think they built that team. I don't think they put the horses on the field to win a Super Bowl doing it that way. But they might be able to win a Super Bowl as a dominant run team like they were a year ago. If they can be that, you buy into their chances of this team winning the Super Bowl. If you can just get into that groove of forcing your will, of using the run to set up the pass to make Lamar look even better, all of the things that you did a season ago, you can buy into that team. Again, I know we're all disappointed by the fact they lost the way they did in the postseason, but we all believed, every single one of us believed when the season ended a year ago, that they were a contender to win the Super Bowl, if not the favorites to win the Super Bowl at that point. And I 100% believe that they still have the horses. While, yes, the right side of the offensive line has been tricky this season, there's no doubt about that.
Because Stanley ain't have a good game today either.
Not great, 100% right. Now, he was coming off an injury as and the whole deal. You hope that maybe coming out of the bye, that and still a couple weeks away. But that being said, I still believe that they are capable of being that team. And as that team, I think they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. I don't see anything about a team that's looking to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Without a number one, a true number one.
Correct.
Let's be clear.
Correct. With having two guys on the field at all that you trust as pass catchers down the field. Two guys at all that you trust as downfield pass catchers. There's not another... I mean, Boyle is some, maybe, like, it's stretching it with Boyle, right? Like, you trust Marquise Brown, you trust Mark Andrews, End of list.
And honestly, I mean, you got guys that can catch, though. You Snead won't catch a ball. Yeah, I mean, so you got guys, but none of those guys are the guy. That's
I'm
the
talking
problem.
About true downfield threats.
Right, that's right. None of those guys are the guy.
Correct.
None of those guys are going to... Yes, Mark Andrews can be a problem, right? But guess what? The problem solved can be double and triple and covering him because we know that's his favorite target, right? And so then you say... Well, okay, then Hollywood. Okay, we're going to put somebody on him too. Problem solved.
Correct.
So if you get a guy that is going to make defenses stretch themselves and say, okay, we can't do all three. We can't double all three of these guys, right? Somebody got to be single covered and then make this a problem. Okay, we can have that conversation about you being a passing team. You don't have that guy.
I still don't know that it makes sense.
You don't have that guy.
I still don't know when you have what you have otherwise that it makes sense to try to be a passing team, but at least you can buy into the idea that it's possible. I can't buy into the idea that this can possibly win you a Super Bowl. Can it beat the Bengals? Can it beat enough teams that you can stockpile wins and maybe even win the division and look good going into the playoffs? Quite possibly. But I cannot for a second believe that you are capable of winning a Super Bowl as a pass-first team. I don't
like you said, you ain't got the horses.
I just don't believe it.
You ain't got
it. I don't believe it for a second. And that's why we're all sitting here puzzled, bewildered at what this is. And there's no way to define it. They're not going to be challenged about it because if you bring it up, John Harbaugh's going to say,
he's going to double down.
He's going to say, tell me the play. Tell me the play that you wanted. It's just it's infuriating. I like the game plan. And they can defend it. They won 27-3 today. They won 27-3. So if we yell and scream and flip out and try to challenge the play calling, the answer is going to be, how you like the play calling that got you a 27-3 win?
Okay.
And what we were talking about, these other concepts, these are you doing the best things for trying to win the Super Bowl, they're kind of mythical. They're not definable. You can't I can't give you scientific data that proves that our theory is right, that this can't work long term.
I agree.
But in watching it, in getting a feel for what this team is doing, for getting a feel for what other teams are capable of doing, do you guys see it? Do you see a team after five games you look at it and says if they keep up being a team that throws the ball 35 to 40 times a game and doesn't prioritize establishing the run, do you think that Ravens team can win a Super Bowl?
No. No.
I mean,
no.
It's just sort of where we are.
No.
Just sort of where we are. Chiefs are trying to stay alive, by the way. They're doing their damnedest.
Oh.
Paul, this team seems undercoached. They're definitely missing that spark or something, or maybe another receiver. And Rita, you know, you were just talking about that a second ago.
You need a guy that is going to change the way the defense works, because as of right now, it's only two guys that these guys are afraid of. Two. And one of them, again, you know how I feel about Hollywood. As much as I love him, he is not big enough. You can kind of rattle him if you want to. If you are physical enough against him, you can kind of get him off his game. So then that leads you to Andrews, which, okay, I'm going to just double him all day because we know you love Andrews. Get one more guy. And then you can decide you want to be a passing football team. And even then, I still want you to have some balance. It would be nice to have balance, but until you get that guy that you don't have...
You definitely can't be that team. The question becomes, even if you got that guy, is it a good idea for you to be
right.
that?
You right, you still need balance, right? I personally believe that having balance is how people win football games. That is my personal belief, right? And so you need to find a way to get one more guy that is going to stretch that secondary thin and get off of the guy that's defending them and getting open.
With that in mind, Paul in Orlando reminds us the Falcons are about to be 0-5.
Oh, that man got – Dan Quinn got to go.
Well, that's – no, the question about that is, can you pry away Julio Jones somehow?
I brought him up. He just got a new contract, right? I don't know how you put that into your salary cap and you got guys that need to be
signed.
I don't know how that's possible.
Obviously, they're still dealing with this whole Earl Thomas grievance situation and how that ends up playing out. And I don't know how that counts cap this year versus cap. You know, like, there's a lot of questions that are in there that aren't so black and white.
Right.
I think that typically I would believe the Ravens to be capable of figuring out a way to make it possible from a cap standpoint. I don't think the cap would end up being the reason they couldn't. Although, in fairness, some of the reporting when they tried to get Yannick Ngakoue was that, like, the cap ultimately ended up being the reason why you couldn't make it happen. Where are you now? Do you have a clearer picture of what you need, of other things you can do? Could you look now and say there's some Unfortunately, I don't think it's the Ronnie Stanley thing would be the easiest way to say, well, here's an extension we can do, but nobody seems to be convinced that that's actually happening versus
right.
Ronnie Stanley just
Correct.
Having to play on the franchise tag
right.
a year
right.
from now.
Right.
I don't have an easy answer for exactly where them. I would have to spend some more time on it. I would just say I don't think that it's dismissible because of that.
I don't think trading for a guy is dismissible. I think trading for Julio Jones is a possible dismissible situation just because of his tag. But I don't think that looking for a number one guy maybe somewhere else is out of the question. I don't know if that is the situation.
Our buddy Andrew Stecca responds to you and says, Rita, easy now. We can fully believe that they are incompetent rather than that smart to be able to pull off something like that. That is some tinfoil-ish right there. She did. She did admit that she went full conspiracy theory
I
in
did.
That moment.
I went full conspiracy theory here.
As far as, you know, look, here's what I'll tell you, right? I definitely think it's part incompetence, like, or, and maybe that's the wrong word. I think there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that this is just dumb people sitting around a room and saying, well, let's just throw them. I mean, like, I just don't believe that. These people are too accomplished. They're too smart for me to believe it's that simple. I think there's something else going on. And by the way, one thing that I don't think is a zero in this conversation, and I'm being completely honest about this, is the opinion of Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson said constantly, I don't want to run the ball all the time. I want to throw the football. I don't think that's a zero in trying to figure out what's going on this season. Now, that's not hard for me. I have no problem personally saying, Lamar, we love you. God bless your thought process and all that. That's not a smart thing for us to do. But if Lamar, again, in his camp a year ago said, look, we can do this, but if you're just going to keep calling plays where he's supposed to run, you better be prepared to pay an exorbitant amount of money at the end of the season. Let's maybe think about what makes sense for all parties involved. I'm not telling you I think that that's I don't think it's impossible that the opinion of Lamar Jackson has played a role in the play calling process for the Baltimore Ravens. And again, I'm not telling you that based on some knowledge that I have. I'm trying to do deductive reasoning as to how we got to this point. And when somebody keeps screaming about how they don't want to run the ball, again, the easy thing to say back is, well, why wouldn't you hand it off? Like, you don't have to be the one running the ball necessarily.
You got three guys.
Although
that's all I'm saying.
I would like for him to run the ball a lot more because he's very good at that.
I want him to run. I don't want to neuter him, but I also don't want him to be put in harm's way either. You got three guys.
But did you ever feel last season like he was being put in harm's way?
No, but this is a new season. People have had a whole year of offseason to watch tape on him.
So and they're clearly trying to push him.
And they have done a very good job through the first five games.
That's
so
fair.
I am not interested in seeing last year's Lamar year's Lamar.
We have still seen plenty of times where there has been room in the middle of the field
yes.
for him to take off. And he had a huge run a week ago that obviously turned into a touchdown, but we've seen less of that. And
I think that's him. I think it's him trying to say, I don't need to do this. I can do it the other way. And like today isn't a good example. I think there's two plays I can remember. One, I believe in the first quarter that he could have probably gotten the first down on his legs, and instead he threw it. It was an incomplete. The second time he could have gotten the first down, I think, and that was the pass to Hollywood Brown that across the middle. And he could have probably gotten a first down, even though it was a linebacker right there. But he still could have – he was close. He would have gotten close enough to a first down. It could have shook mm-hmm. him, and there was really nobody else around. So I think he just doesn't want to do it.
I think that has something to do with it. I don't doubt that.
That
to me is sort of insane, right? Like everything that we've been talking about a year ago – don't get me wrong. This is not about whether or not Lamar can be that guy as a passer. I'm not having that conversation.
Right.
I'm talking about what makes him – different, what makes him special, what makes him dynamic. He's not going to be a better passer of the football than Patrick Mahomes or than Aaron Rodgers necessarily, but he is the most dynamic quarterback to ever play the game when he's doing the other things.
So maybe someone should be having a conversation with Lamar.
I mean, this is the problem. I'm worried that there are people that have made him feel like he's got to be that guy, which to me, it's the exact opposite thing. You're limiting yourself when you're doing that.
You know why?
I understand.
That tinfoil hat
didn't
come back on
because
he wants that top quarterback money. I'm saying.
Apparently, Otaro Lock is out for the season.
Yes, he is.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Guy that's shown some signs. Nice story. There's things to like about Otaro Lock, and not a significant part of what the Ravens were doing defensively, but, you know, it's never a pleasant thing when something like that happens. Scott, Lamar isn't the problem. The fact that the line can't pass block or his receivers are Snead and Boykin is the problem. Let me extend that. That's part of the problem,
yeah,
undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Now, Lamar's not played particularly well.
He has not.
We have to acknowledge that.
Yes,
he still
we do.
He has moments where you still see the brilliance, where you still, like the pass that he made on the run a week ago, you're just like, geez, I mean, who does that? Who can do that in the NFL? But we do have to acknowledge the fact that Lamar has missed throws, plain and simple. He's missed them. The bigger confusion is, it feels like we're talking about a loss. Doesn't it feel like we're talking about a loss? They won 27-3
today. I know, but we
I know. It's our context.
We see the cracks here.
Yep,
and
it's
that's
the context.
And you fear that when you play against better opponents,
yep,
it is not going to. Now, next week they play Philly, which I don't think Philly is a great. Obviously, they have their own struggles, right? They just got their first win last week. So there's that part of it. But also, they're playing better. They played better. I don't know what the score is now against the Steelers, but I know that they were.
I think the Steelers ended up.
But they, you know, they were told they ended up kind of making that close.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're better than the Bengals at this point, right?
I don't disagree.
So, do you think going to Philadelphia next week, which obviously that doesn't make a ton of difference because they're not going to have a crowd.
Steelers ended up winning 38-29.
Okay. So, you know, do you think that watching what you saw today offensively is going to, if they play against Philadelphia, which is a step above the Bengals,
mm-hmm,
right? So what if it's 27-20? How are you going to feel about that?
I don't know.
And it's the fourth quarter, and they have the ball back with like 6 minutes left.
I mean,
are you really feeling good about what you saw today? And if it replicates next week, then they'll win the
football
game?
The answer is you like against just about everybody other than Patrick Mahomes, you like this secondary and this defense, right? Like that's really the answer that we're talking about, is that you like them in those circumstances. But I understand what you're saying. What we're talking about is our context is not what the Ravens did today. Our context is we're not enjoying the ride anymore. This is not about – this is – y'all came up short – in incredibly disappointing fashion, and you've got to prove to us something more for us to believe you're not going to be the team that's going to come up short again. Like, that's now the standard that we're operating with. And I keep saying this, is it fair? I would like to hope that within the building that's the standard they're operating with too. That this doesn't make us bad people because we're not willing to just sit back and enjoy and celebrate winning football games. That it's they're thinking about the same things within that building. Is that every day they go to work, they're thinking about what it's going to take in order to win a Super Bowl. I would like to hope that that's their standard as well within the building. Now, they do a good job of projecting one day at a time, one game at a time. They do a wonderful job with their messaging, their branding, that you don't get anybody to slip up,
and
right?
And yet they do the same play calling every week.
That part I'll never understand.
Mm.
We're going to have a real struggle with it. From our buddy Noodles, Rodney Elliott.
Hey.
Checks in. Keep in mind, this is the first actual game of the season, really. The first four.
All right, whatever.
Would have been preseason
games. Look, they played better the first game than they did on the fifth game. So what y'all trying to tell me? Because am I lying or am I flying? That's all I'm saying.
You're not wrong.
They played excellent the
yep,
first
they were
game.
Sharp.
They were sharp.
Yep.
They don't look anything like the way they did against the Browns, who have since
yeah, certainly
then
been better. No doubt
better.
About that.
So,
no doubt.
Hey, I hear you. I get it. I know there's no preseason. All I'm saying is that even the second game, they played better. It feels like that since the Chiefs game, they can't get out of their own head for some reason. Let it go. I don't know. And I don't even know if that's the case, right? Like, I don't even know if that's a thing. All I know is that since week three, they've looked a little off. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. Obviously, they have some things that they need to work on the offensive side of the football. They can't run block well. They can't pass block well.
Yeah, but other than that.
You know, winning football games.
Other than all those things. No, I hear you. And again, it's a tough conversation to have. I to some extent, Rodney, you're right. To me, this is more about the quality of opponent that we're talking about. This is more about what it is that you're doing. By the way, the Raiders are going to hold on and beat the Chiefs, which is
did
significant.
Did they get a first down?
They picked it up.
Good.
They converted a fourth
and
short.
Oh, and they don't have any timeouts left.
Yep. So it's over. That game is over. The Raiders will win their 40-32, handing the Chiefs their first loss of the season. It's a tough. This is very difficult to put all into one really intelligent thought to pontificate correctly. All of these things can be true. Literally everything that we've just thrown out there, some combination of all of these things can be true, right? Like every single one. And it's easy to sit back and say, well, there's still plenty of time. There's still plenty of time. The season's really just getting started. There's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and the end of the... All of those things completely accurate. This is by the standard by which we're judging them. The standard by which we're judging them is that even on a day where they were dominant, we still have questions. And those questions are fair. They're not unreasonable. We don't really understand what they're attempting to be. KZ points out, how's Lamar going to improve if they don't let him throw, LOL? I don't know if he's trying to say that sarcastically or if he's
KZ,
he wants them to run the ball, I feel like, on every play.
Knowing KZ, he's being sarcastic. I'm going to roll with that.
But I keep coming back to that. Like, I keep coming back to trying to figure out what makes the most sense in determining why it is the Ravens are throwing the ball this much. I keep coming back to this idea that you're trying to artificially create scenarios where you have to throw the ball this much, right? Like, where we want, if we ever run into something like that again, where you fall behind by 14 points, we want to feel more comfortable having to throw the ball that much. The only way for us to do that is if we artificially choose to throw the ball that much in other games, even when we don't have to. I don't know that it's going to solve the problem whenever you get there, and you haven't looked all that sharp doing it. It's not like you've tried doing that and you've looked like this unbelievable passing offense in the process. It says to me you might just be screwed if you end up finding yourself down by 14 points at some point down the road.
Which we've known thus far, right?
Right.
That they can't, when they are behind, they don't play well from behind because whatever their game plan is goes out the window and they just say, hey, we're just going to throw it for the rest of the game. And that's what the Ravens do, it appears. But I would like for them to commit to the run more. I understand that this is a makeshift offense. I understand that there's some moving parts here due to injury, due to replacement of Marshall Yanda. I understand. But that is what you guys were good at, and you have the playmakers.
And not just good, great.
And even if the guys up front are struggling, you still have guys that are – very good playmakers that can still make plays.
You're not struggling on the ground. This notion, I did this math with Kyle earlier this week. You can say maybe they're afraid because of the offensive line. I know coming into today's game, and I'd have to take a look at the numbers, they were running for just as many yards per carry through 4 weeks this season as they were a year ago. You can say all you want about not having Marshall Yanda up front. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they've looked the same without having Marshall Yanda on the field.
I think that's obvious, right?
But yet, the numbers themselves say, even without nearly as many explosive Lamar Jackson runs. I mean, like, let's be fair about that. There were plenty more number-altering Lamar Jackson runs a year ago. The running backs themselves were averaging the three of them just as many yards per carry. I think if I did the math, it was slightly more right now than they did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we can't do it. It's, we're not doing it.
That's it.
Andrew says, is it possible that instead of incompetence, it's just stubbornness?
Yes, yeah, I believe that more than anything.
Why is the question? Why?
Is Harbaugh that aggressive that he feels like, you know, he has to continue to throw the ball when they're up, at minimum two scores or three scores, and it was like the second quarter? I don't know what it is that they feel the need to continue to do these things. It obviously isn't working. It created one of the worst second halves of a football game I've seen in quite a while.
It was terrible. Just brutal.
And so why do you continue to do this? Go back to your basics. Go back to what you're good at. Let the guys on the ground do their thing. Create some play action. If the defense is showing you that they're getting back there quick, find a way to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand quick. I don't know why this is hard. Football is not a hard sport. You know what's hard? Coaches' heads. That's what's hard.
Trying to prove something of some sort.
Which makes no sense to me. None. Win the football game.
My old high school math teacher, Mr. Radcliffe, checks in. I love Mr. Radcliffe. He says, Lamar could have had four picks today. And that is also,
yes,
by the way, when we talk,
yes,
about Lamar not
right.
playing well,
yes,
he definitely. I mean,
two drops.
Yeah.
He had one, which the one that fell back in coverage, that was a good defensive play.
The one interception itself was a tremendous defensive play.
So, yes, at first I looked at it, was like, what's going on? Then I saw the replay and I was like, okay, that's a really good defensive play.
Right.
I gotta give it to that guy. But there's two other plays,
yep,
that absolutely come out to me. The Ricard pass that was
and
awful.
one was tipped.
That, and one was
that
tipped.
Could have been intercepted.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
Like you can't ignore the fact that he's not playing. And again, the standard's crazy, right? Like, we're talking about the standard from a year ago, which is one of the great offensive
seasons. But
they're
not even playing the same offense from a year ago. So
that's
there's
part of the
that
problem.
Part and
of
that's
problem.
The problem.
Darrell, the Ravens don't have an offensive identity right now.
How many years, Glenn, do me and you have to have the same conversation? We've had this conversation since Joe Vincent Flacco has been here. And we are in 2020 having this exact same conversation after having an identity that took you to 14-2 and a first round bye, number one seed in the NFL. I don't understand why we're having this conversation in 2020.
I'm not giving you an answer because I don't have it. I don't have an answer.
It is very frustrating.
But a year ago there was. A year ago, you had your identity. Your identity was...
We're back, right back to square one.
Dominant run to set up someone who is having an exceptional passing season because you were using the run to set it up. That was your identity, and it was brilliant. It's completely lost. Now, again, you're 4-1. There's plenty of time. Like, this is the one thing I'll come back to. As frustrated as we are... If next week they just say, okay, we tried something that didn't work.
You really think that's going to happen?
Rita, I don't know. I don't know. I know that they should.
I've seen this story before, Glenn. I've seen this script before. With the same head coach, different offensive coordinator, but the same head coach. I've seen this story before. So based on what I've seen, they're going to go back to doing the same thing they did. Today, next week.
All right, give me 45 seconds. We want to let some wonderful people tell you a little bit more about them. We'll come back in. We'll start thinking ahead to next week and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Glenn. She's Rita. We're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio. It's the Project Game Day postgame show. Ravens win 27-3 today over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Glory Days Grill's Oktoberfest menu is available now. Our fall seasonal menu is available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new chicken schnitzel or the delicious Prussian pretzel rolls. Glory Days is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A-plus certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of 1 million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
Wrapping up for the Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens win today. I'm trying to be pleasant. We did. For those of you that missed it, we started like the first 8 or so minutes of the show were nothing but pleasant things. We said, let's be pleasant before we get into the other thing. The other thing... I we'll be dealing with it. We'll be dealing with it until something tells us we don't have to deal with it anymore. Either one, they're going to revert back to being the team that we thought they should be coming into the season. They were a year ago. Or they're going to get drastically better as a team that throws the football. I don't expect the latter to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope it's the former.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't, we think there could be some pain as the season goes along.
Mm.
But... there's time, as I keep saying, there's time, and it's certainly better to be dealing with that at 4-1
yes.
than it is to be dealing with that at, say, 2-3,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Like, we all know that's true, but we just understand.
Go back to basics, man. Just go back to basics. Even if you don't want Lamar running the ball as much as he did last year, okay, fine. You have guys that are very capable of doing that, but go to what you know. It helps everybody. It helps everybody. It helps everything. It sets up everything.
And it makes him better.
It makes him better.
And again, I am not on board with any scenario where you're not having Lamar run purposefully, where you're purposefully not having Lamar run. I am never going to be on it. You can say today was maybe more about injury. I'll listen to that. But any thought process from anywhere, from Lamar, from Greg Roman, from John Harbaugh, from the people, anything that says we don't want Lamar running strikes in the face of everything we knew about what was going on a year ago, which was we did the math. The smartest people in the world sat down and said, the people that are screaming on ESPN and Fox, they're all idiots.
Yeah.
The numbers do not back up what they're saying. The numbers say there is not at all a greater risk to Lamar getting hurt because he's running this much. We have actual hard data that we can give you, not, you know, an idiot that's a blowhard that's just talking for the sake of talking. We've got actual data. There is no greater risk. We all looked at the data. We all accepted it. We all, because a lot of us, when this all started, were like, I'm not sure I love the idea of running your quarterback this much. This could be problematic. But we convinced ourselves of it because we saw all this data. So now to sit back and have any scenario where you're limiting how much your quarterback runs, I am not on board with that at all because I've done seen the data. It's like letting me go out to Area 54 and then trying to convince me that aliens don't exist.
And even if it's him and he doesn't want to necessarily do it, it doesn't mean that you can't dial up a run play as a result.
If it is him, we gotta talk to him. We gotta have a conversation.
You know, there might be a part of him that wants to elevate his game, and I'm not against that. But I do think that
you were the MVP of the NFL a year ago.
Yes, but I think we heard this offseason, Glenn, was what they wanted to do was work on the deep ball. What they wanted to do was work on his passing game. So clearly, he felt like he needed to do more things as a passer than he did as a runner. And if that's the case, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think that you guys are missing a piece here.
You can't really
do that the way you'd like.
Imagine the standard being the not just an MVP, not just MVP, unanimous MVP of the National Football League. Unanimous MVP of the National Football League and saying, yeah, but we can't keep doing that. We got to do something else. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
Being the undisputed best player in the entire league and walking away from it saying, yeah, but we got to do something different. Like, that's – we can't do that. We got to try something else. That's not acceptable. You can't raise your game any more than being the unanimous MVP of the NFL. That is the peak of what you're capable of doing in this league.
I know, but I think that he wants more.
I guess winning the Super Bowl,
But and if you want more, then you got to ask them to give you more.
Okay, well, here's my question through five games. Does Lamar Jackson look as good as he did a season ago?
He does not.
Did the Baltimore Ravens?
Wait. At week five?
Yeah. Okay, I'm talking about from the end of the season last year.
Well, of course not.
Okay, do the Baltimore Ravens look like they're better than they were a season ago?
They do not.
So why would you continue to do any of this?
Ask him. And ask his coach.
That's where we are. All right, Rita's running off next week. She's bailing on us.
I'll be back.
She'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I'll look forward to that. Yes. But I guess it'll be 3 weeks because the bye moves.
They moved the bye.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so no game the following week.
Yeah.
Instead, that'll be the bye on the 25th, and then we'll see you come November.
Yeah.
God, Jesus, where did the year go? Holy.
It's been the longest
year ever, all of a sudden. The Christmas
longest,
football,
fastest year
right?
ever.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord. I mean, you said that, and I was like, November. Like, it's only October the 11th.
No doubt. But you're out next week. We got a bye, and all of a sudden,
boom,
November. November. It just hits. All right,
I'll be back in 3 weeks.
In the meantime, Drew Forrester will be here next Sunday with me. Looking forward to that. Tomorrow morning, of course, Glenn Clark Radio from 10 to noon. Rita, you can be found at?
On Twitter and Instagram, at the NFL Chick. And a new podcast was up this week. At Gridiron Gals, GALS.
Very good. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. We will see you tomorrow morning. Thanks to the U.S. Army for making the Project Game Day post-game show happen. Again, Ravens win 27-3. They're 4-1. We got stuff to deal with. That's all.
We
got stuff to deal with. Thanks, Rita. Thanks to you guys for checking us out. We'll see you next Sunday.